Genre: realistic fiction. Realistic fiction has characters and settings that seem real but are actually imaginary. As you read, think about the things that make this story seem like it could really happen. Question of the week: how does facing challenges help us learn about ourselves? Jungle Fever by Francisco Lirios. Illustrated by Jacqueline Velasquez. Marianne is flying back from university in the USA to her hometown in Peru. The commercial airplane in which she is traveling is struck by lightning during a heavy thunderstorm and crash lands in the Amazonian jungle. Marianne survives the crash, but she is injured and alone. With no food or tools, she sets off to find help. Marianne's journey tests every inch of her strength, but she is determined to survive against all the odds. Marianne woke up in pain. She felt terrified. Her back and her shoulders hurt a lot, and her joints were stiff. She moved her head slowly, looking for clues. Where was she? What had happened? She knew that it was nighttime, but she could not see much through the thick, moist darkness. She could feel the warm air, which was heavy with moisture. The smell of burning filled the air. She felt damp leaves underneath her, and judging by the sound of water dripping on leaves, she realized she must be surrounded by trees. She felt a slow burning sensation above her left eye and reached up to touch her forehead. It felt sticky and warm. There was blood coming from it. She tried to wipe the blood with a big green leaf, which she found next to her on the damp ground, but it hurt too much. She pulled in a rasping breath. It seemed too hard to get up. To even move her legs felt impossible, so she closed her eyes again and lay still, breathing unevenly in the warm, wet night. Still half asleep, she lay listening to a lot of unfamiliar sounds. Then she woke up again. A significant amount of time must have passed because everything looked very different in the daylight. Her whole body was very stiff, but she was able to stand up by holding on to the branches of a nearby tree. The trees were very unusual, or at least she didn't recognize them. It was very wet, and soon it started to get very warm. She tried to call out for someone, but her voice sounded tiny, not creating any echo. The only reaction came from the birds. Birds that she had only seen before in a zoo. They were very colorful and, for some reason, more curious than frightened. "Parakeets," she said out loud, confused for a moment as to why it took her some time to remember the actual word. Then she remembered her own fear, the panic, and the speed. She had never been scared of flying and had rarely thought about what could go wrong. The whole sequence, listening to the emergency announcements, the oxygen mask dropping suddenly, the lights flickering on and off, the plane suddenly heading downwards and finally crashing, felt like it only lasted seconds. It had been a night flight from Chicago to Lima, but she was not sure if she was in Peru. The jungle could be anywhere. Marianne's parents had moved to the USA from Peru when she was very young, and she remembered hardly anything about her home country's geography. She did remember the mosquitoes quite well, and she had always associated them with jungles. She remembered looking at some close-up photos of many types of insects in the airline magazine and thought how reality can change so fast. Flight accidents are uncommon, she thought. Almost every single one is reported in the media. Someone must be looking for the plane and the survivors. There must be someone around, some other passengers, she thought. I should go and try to find where the plane crashed. It must be somewhere near. It wasn't easy to walk. There was something wrong with her feet, some strange numbness. She wished she could orient herself better, but the sun was already quite high. She was wearing a light jacket, which she had put on during the flight, as she felt cold at one point. She checked, but there was nothing useful in her pockets. She felt very hot and thirsty. There must be some water somewhere if it's this wet, she said. She was talking to herself more as it made her feel calmer. She suddenly felt a sharp pain in her left foot. She burst into tears and stopped walking. Her sneaker was cut through. Her foot was cut too. There was a tree wide enough that she could lean on it, which took away some of the pain in her foot. She cried for a long time. Eventually, she managed to recoup some of her strength and started to walk again. She had learned an important lesson. She had realized that crying and feeling sorry for herself didn't work. Her foot still hurt, and she still needed to find water. She kept checking for puddles as she walked. "Where do all the animals find water?" she wondered. "I'll find water sooner or later," she assured herself. Luckily, she was still not hungry, but not having any supplies with her made her worry. Eventually, she found a small puddle in the root of a tree. She managed to scoop up some of the water with a leaf, as her hand was too big to fit into the puddle. She was surprised by her instinct to use a leaf as a spoon and was happy for the water, even though it tasted dirty and was warm. Everywhere looked the same, she realized after walking for some time. "Time," she said out loud. She didn't wear a watch. She could see that the sun was still quite high, so maybe only a few hours had passed. "I already passed this tree," she said. "Or maybe it just looks exactly the same." She continued for a while, but soon there was no doubt that she was walking in circles. All the trees looked so similar that she felt completely lost. Then, on the ground a few feet away from her, she saw a flash of color, rich reds and purples, striking against the jungle green. A pile of bird feathers strewn on the floor. At first, she thought they were the remnants of a human ritual, but then she realized that the bird had probably just been attacked by some kind of animal. She shuddered as thoughts about dangerous animals ran through her mind. Forcing herself to focus on practical matters instead of fear, she decided to use the quills to mark the trees as she passed them. Her first attempt to mark a tree looked like a broken bird's nest. "It needs to look more like it was put there by a human, and maybe someone will find the markings and follow them," she thought with a flash of hope. She thought for a memento about what to do. The lining of her jacket had somehow got cut, and she realized she could rip it further. First, she tore the fabric lining into small strips. After that, she started to tie the quills to the trees while she walked along. This would look human enough, she thought. She imagined herself working for a national tree registry, marking trees for their healthy status. The shadows were growing longer, and she was aware of the darkness coming. The idea of spending many nights sleeping out in the open frightened her. "The night is still far away, Marianne," she said to herself, pushing down the panicky feeling. A strong chemical smell hit her nose. Plastic. There was a big plastic item, about a meter long, stuck in between two trees. The air around it was hot and it still smoldered, although there were no flames. So the plane must have burned, she thought. She found this discovery both exciting and distressing. Adrenaline coursed through her body, and she managed not to mind the pain so much anymore. As she continued to walk, she found more parts of the plane and she got closer to inspect them. She spotted an aluminum locker, and she recognized it. She had been standing next to it for ages yesterday while she was waiting in the line for the toilet. She couldn't believe it was only yesterday that she had been on the plane. "The locker might contain something useful," she said, her voice a bit higher pitched. It was easy to open it, and though she did smell food, she couldn't recognize it as it all looked mushy. It must have all melted, she thought. She was worried about eating some plastic, as it had seemed it had all melded together, so she only had a small bite. "There must be a way to find food in the jungle," she thought. "I shouldn't risk poisoning myself." "You can survive without food for many days," she remembered. "Water is much more important." Marianne walked on slowly, hoping that she would find someone or something. She continued to mark trees, although not so often, and wondered if anyone else was leaving markers. If there was anyone else, the plane's parts can't be miles from each other, she guessed. but she didn't know a lot about accidents in the aviation industry. She wished that she had been a scout, but she had only done piano lessons as a child. Her parents had always worked during the weekends, so there were few trips into nature. "Now I have the whole jungle to myself," she thought. Then she heard the skittering, a skittering brushing sound. She breathed deeply and walked on. She focused on the bird sounds, which had intensified in the last hour or so. She knew a bit about birds, mostly because she had kept a canary when she was young, and sometimes she had tried to imitate her bird singing with her piano. "Perhaps it's an evening call," she thought, even though the sun was still quite strong. "It must be later than I thought," she murmured to herself. She registered at least 4 different bird calls, each varying in their pitch and duration. She thought more about the canary as she walked. The idea of having pets in the jungle made her think, if I had a dog, it would bark loudly and someone might hear it. Maybe someone did have a dog on the flight last night? She was not even sure if pets were able to fly on airplanes. She had never seen one. "But I didn't fly often," she thought. Seeing parts of the plane made her think much more about the actual flight. Had she spoken to anyone? She didn't think so. She had fallen asleep quite early in the flight and had woken up only to have dinner and to go to the toilet. She wished she had made contact with someone on the plane and had learned their name. Then she would know what name to shout. But as she didn't know any names, she could only shout "help" into the humid jungle evening. Nobody answered. She was alone with the birds. She thought about how some people would pay to be alone in the jungle. But they would have many supplies with them, she thought. "I don't have anything," she said out loud. Then, as if someone was listening to her, she saw beneath a tree root a bright red emergency hatchet, still somehow intact. To be used in an emergency, Marianne thought. She picked up the hatchet. It was quite heavy, and she realized that she didn't have anywhere to put it, meaning that she had to carry it in one of her hands all the time from now on. She registered that she felt annoyed for the first time since the crash, but reminded herself that she should be happy and thankful for the important, if heavy, tool. The hatchet became an additional reminder of the accident, and she wondered what exactly had caused it. Did the plane crash first and then burn, or did something ignite in the plane which caused it to crash? So many questions. She was again amazed that she was alive and well. However, pain and hunger were growing, slowly merging together into a strange, uneasy sensation. She began to look down at the ground as she walked, hoping to spot something which might be useful or edible. At one point, the dense jungle cleared, and there were fewer trees and more bushes. Marianne stopped for a moment. She soon spotted some dark berries growing on the bushes, which she was hesitant to try at first. However, her hunger took over, and she tried just one. And then, after some time, a few more. They were sweet, and since nothing felt different, she ate a whole handful. She wasn't hungry anymore, but she felt very tired. She hadn't even realized how dark it had become. At least she felt a bit safer with the hatchet, which she could use to protect herself. There were some plants with big leaves which she picked up and arranged, not exactly to make a bed, but to make the ground more even to sleep on. She enjoyed the action. It felt almost normal, like laying the sheet on her bed in her apartment in Chicago. She managed to fall asleep thinking about how fast she adapted to jungle life. She woke up suddenly, feeling hot, dry, and confused. She remembered having a weird dream in which mosquitoes were red airplanes transporting birds in cages, and though she often had weird dreams, this one came with the reality of many mosquito bites and terrible back pain. "It was a mistake not to sleep underneath the trees," she said out loud. Her own voice sounded different today, somehow a bit deeper. She managed to get up. She would have liked to have laid down longer, but the direct sun was too strong. She was also very thirsty and was worried that she wouldn't be able to find water as the previous night has been so warm and dry. So far, she could only rely on the berries as an edible food source, and this time she ate quite a lot. They were mostly ripe, so she enjoyed the sweet taste. She decided to walk further on, towards a flat area. Maybe I'll be more visible there, she thought. She forced herself to concentrate on encouraging thoughts. Accidents do happen and missing people are found, she told the trees as she walked along. Walking was slow and painstaking. The sun was strong, the sky was very clear, and at one point she saw an airplane flying above. She watched it until it disappeared, and the only proof of its existence was the white trail in the sky. And when the trail was gone, she wasn't even sure that there had been an airplane at all. The ground became softer, more moist than before, and not long passed until she stepped into a small stream of surprisingly cold water. Success! She drank for a long time, thoroughly quenching her thirst. Then she started to follow the stream in the direction in which it flowed. It was growing and widening, and she remembered how, on a school trip, her teacher told the class that if they ever got lost in nature, they should look for and follow a river. She had not thought of her school days for a long time, but the images were quite clear in her head now, and she got lost in the memories. The trip to the national park, the packed snacks and drinks, the picnic, the snake they saw curled up on a rock, which made some children cry, the singing in the bus back to the city. There were many more mosquitoes near the river, which she tried to wave away with a hatchet to no avail. It's a useless tool, she thought. She felt too weak to carry it, and while she had a vague feeling that it might be useful for something, her mind was muddled and her thoughts were unclear. Still, she kept it, dangling loosely in her right hand. One day it will remind me of my days in the jungle, she thought. You must stay strong and think about safely returning home, she said out loud. The birds, conversing among themselves, were much noisier than before, she noticed. She felt lonely. There are so many of them, and I am all alone, she thought. What if no one finds me? She asked the birds. The sound of her voice made them look toward her, but they didn't fly away. Maybe they are used to people, she thought. This idea renewed her hope. She continued to talk to the birds while she walked. It was already becoming dark, she realized. She started to think about spending another night in the wild, wondering how many more were to come. Then she noticed a structure, with wooden sides, forming a sort of a cube, just on the edge of the riverbank. It spread all the way to the water. She was relieved at the sight of it. At first, she couldn't work out what it was, but upon closer inspection, she understood to be a boathouse. It would be her new home, at least for the night ahead. When she tried the door, she found that it was not locked. While it was already too dark to see anything inside, she found a flat part far enough from the water to be safe and fell asleep. That night, she felt cold. She woke up many times, annoyed by the sound of the mosquitoes and the feel of the hard floor. She could hear the babbling river water, and the sound of it confused her. She was puzzled by her dreams. She managed to influence the storyline of some dreams, or at least she thought that she was able to. She dreamed that the big birds she had seen by the river were talking in English with a Latino accent. "We are searching for a missing boat," one of the birds called. "Maybe if you come up here with me and we fly around, we will be able to find it," another bird called, cruising in the sky. Marianne was half asleep. She found a few squished berries in her pocket and ate them slowly. She didn't know what time of day it was, and she didn't have enough energy to get up. "Maybe I will sleep a bit more," she said to herself. Something did sound like a boat or a car. "There is a steady engine sound," Marianne thought. Birds were speaking in many languages, and there were many sounds. Water was splashing. "Hey! Hola! Bang! Bang!" Someone was hitting the boathouse. Marianne stiffened in fear, but then, in the next second, she realized that someone was there. Someone had found her. She was not dreaming, and she grabbed the hand she was offered. "Why do you have this hatchet framed on your wall?" Tom asked Marianne while visiting her newly rented apartment in Chicago. "You know, that hatchet comes from a plane crash many years ago. Even though I didn't use it much during my days in the jungle, I still keep it to remind me of that time. I'm very fond of it. You would think that it would have been very helpful to have it when I was lost, but I wasn't really able to use it much. Later, I found out that it can be used to start a fire or to cut trees to build a shelter. But I was young and unprepared for the situation I found myself in, so I didn't think of those things. Yet I managed to maintain my energy and stay optimistic, which for sure was a big part of why I survived. Marianne showed the scar on her forehead to Tom, and they stood in silence for a few minutes. The scar and the hatchet are the only things from the crash that I can actually see. It happened 6 years ago, and I still don't believe I survived. I was very lucky. It took me quite some time to recover as I was lost in the jungle for 4 days. I didn't eat almost anything except for some berries, and I lost a lot of weight. I remember I talked a lot to myself, which really helped me. Not many people survived the crash, and I had to retell the story so many times for the media that it became much less my own. In some ways, I was never so well connected to myself than in those days in the jungle. I had to think only about finding essential elements like water, and as I returned to normal life, I wondered how much I took for granted. Even though my body struggled a lot in those days, I was surprised how strong I actually was, as they found me more than 20 kilometers away from the accident site. Getting lost in the city afterwards was almost funny and made me think how I had to mark the trees in the jungle in order not to walk in circles. Sometimes I think that everyone should be left alone in the jungle to realize how much we are disconnected from our inner powers when living in big cities. The whole experience made me much stronger. I can't believe I get annoyed by traffic jams, finding a parking spot, losing keys. It all seems incomparable to those 4 days of actually surviving.